I'm here today with Susan Lehman, I'm Diane Quinn, and we're here on Friday, November 11th, 2016 at Susan's home in Manhattan. And this is for the Actors Fund. This is interview 2 of 3. Thank you very much for joining me today, Susan.
Oh, you're most welcome.
I would like to talk a little bit more about your education and training. You did tell me where you went to school and so forth, but throughout, maybe coaches you've worked with,
okay,
or acting teachers that you were particularly helped you in a particular way.
Did I ever speak about Elvina Krauss at Northwestern? Okay, well, Northwestern was one of the things that was a lovely coup. I loved going to the college, but they were. It was not musicals, which is what I loved and what I knew I would do, but Northwestern at that point did not have a program. But I did, when I came to New York, I immediately, of course, had my equity card from being at the Kansas City Starlight for 2 seasons. And that was, of course, learning on the job and so studying. I really was not in the mood to study that much. I really wanted to sing and I wanted to do musicals, and that was that. And I did. My first job was a Broadway show, which I think I've told you was doing I Can Get It For You Wholesale, and understudying Barbara Streisand and Bambi Lynn. I just sort of sailed through for the rest of the year of 1962 when I graduated, and began to think about studying, but not really. But one of the things that I did at the end of 1962 was I stage managed a Broadway show called I Can Get It For You, Mike Nichols directed it, and I was the assistant, which was quite an experience. But one of the people in the show was very active with Uta Hagen. So she was the one that she basically gave me the idea to study with Uta, and in those days you had to audition for Uta, which was great because not everybody should have studied with her. She was quite demanding, but I fell in love with her and she fell in love with me in terms of just the work. And I worked with her for 3 years. I was her key student, which meant that I got the class for free, which I needed to do, and I also was able to help everybody. I was the person who helped them set up all of the things that they needed to be ready for their scene, their props and the staging and the chairs and the tables that were, because you set up the set from what was there. And then I got to know people that way and being helpful, and I loved that. I mean, I love being helpful, so it was fun. It was great. And I was in the class as well. And that was something that, you know, that was kind of marvelous too. it was a very unique kind. First of all, her book had just come out. Respect for Acting is the name of her book. And it had just come out, and so I got that, and of course read it, and was just fascinated. I still read it, and she signed it to me, which was great, wonderful, and that began the 3-year period, and I learned a great deal about directing, which is what I had wanted to do. I just assisted Mike Nichols in his play, and a Broadway show, and I was really ready to learn more about directing because I was fascinated with it. And that was the beginning of that, although I felt very strongly about the fact that I wanted to act. I mean, that was that. But I also wanted to direct, and I didn't quite know where to put that. But slowly but surely, I began to direct at HB. Herbert Berghoff had, they had a theater for that we could direct at if you were part of the director's unit, and which I became, and an ability to work with the students that were there and choose my actors. But it was really very, very formal the way it was done. And so I began to work with Herbert, and I began to work with Uta. I worked with her for a year first, though. And that's all I did. I was just so concentrated and focused in it. And they were way down in the village, which was, you know, on Bank Street, which was, you know, so I would ride my bicycle down there every week and then come back on my bicycle. And I began to get to know people in the studio, at the studio. It's still one of the best places to study. It's very, very open and wonderful teachers, because they're mostly all actors and directors that are actually working. And they begin to work with HB, and to be with HB is, I think, quite an honor. Anyway, I began that was the process there. I really started studying voice then. I studied with Olaf Olsen. He was a wonderful German musician voice teacher. So I started studying with him, and I started studying with some of the people that were, you know, the accompanists. And I'm not quite sure just exactly. I went through very many different people, but I was at that point after Prisoner of Second Avenue, which was the Mike Nichols play that I assisted with. I began to really look into directing more, and that's when I started studying with Agon. I was very involved in also finding, obviously, making a living, and which is also part of the story that happens. But I was collecting kind of this idea of who was really good, and I'd had the best to start with Mike. But when I began to direct at HB, I did very well. I directed then after Prisoner of Second Avenue closed. I went then directly into studying with Uta and directly into directing. But I also did, you know, I also acted. And I was a musician, but I was also a singer dancer. I used to say I was a singer actress dancer, because the dancing was not my strongest point. However, I could do it. I could skip, and I could giggle, and I had a smile that, you know, that it was enchanting. I mean, that's what they said. I had an important idea about what was necessary. And with Uta, I realized how different musical theater is to act in rather than plays. Because you're, as a musical theater person, you're really out there. You're really, you know, it's bigger than in theater and plays. You're present, and it's not so much forthcoming in terms of energy and such as it is with musicals. So, but I knew that musicals were my strong point because I could sing. And so that's what I began to do. And then I began to go out and stock, summer stock. And then I toured with Fiddler on the Roof at that point and learned so much from, I mean, when I look at the cast of Fiddler, it was Paul Lipson was our papa. And I ended up being working as Seidel, the oldest daughter who got married. I think I mentioned I got married 410 times in the time that I worked with as Seidel, over a year. And but then I also knew that it was time to, even though I was giving up a job and people said, why do you not want to stay up, on the road? But I really wanted to be in New York. And I knew I needed to be in New York because that's where I was going to meet people. So I left. I left after a period of time and went back to New York and then did the things that were necessary for learning more and getting into it was who you knew. It was really who you knew, who you worked with and such. I'm coming to a place now where I can remember a lot of the good stuff that happened, but I don't necessarily remember it all in how it happened in the chronological order, and it's all kind of mixed in because I was working, trying to make a living, and had many skills. I mean, I could type, I had good phone skills, and then I went out with things. I went out with a lot of different shows. I did a lot of reviews in those days, but did some off Broadway, and each time I met, for instance, I was with Rue McClanahan in a musical that we did, which right this very second it goes away, but it was with Rue, and of course then she became so well known with Betty and the others in the Golden Girls, and she was really fun, and it was fun. It just was fun. I lived in the Village, and then I moved uptown, and I finally moved to up to the Upper West Side, which is where I still live, and had a lot of different kinds of experiences. I knew that it was important to see and be with people, because that was the important thing, was not necessarily always saying the lines and the right lines in the right way. Of course, that was important, but the idea that you could pick up something from someone, Catherine Damon, who I loved, who was I worked with her a lot, Skipper Damon, and she went onto the coast, but she used to talk about the secrets, the actors' secrets, and I began to understand about the secrets, the actor secrets. And they weren't something that you ever talked about and you never shared them with anybody. But what you did do was you were able to use them as, for instance, perhaps your purpose. But just you knew it. Skipper was the one that taught me how to be elegant. I wasn't elegant. I was a tomboy, for God's sake. But how to be elegant and how to learn. I learned how to choose clothing. And I got my first credit card. I don't know if I told you this before, but my first credit card, she said, go to Tiffany's. Go to Tiffany's and buy something and then put it on a credit card, which I did. So there I am with, I was buying a wedding present, actually. And I never would have gone into Tiffany's if she hadn't said something about that. I never would have gone in and put it on a credit card. Oh, my goodness, no. But that's how I got my first credit card was at Tiffany's, which was fun. And I bought many wedding presents through that. But she taught me how to handle myself in a different place than I had grown up to be. So that's that. I'm trying to remember who else I studied with, because that was really the original question. And various people throughout. I ended up with, after Olaf, I studied with, oh Lord, the names, I don't have the names right this very second, but at the same time, I did a lot of studying musically, primarily musically to begin with. And then after I directed, I began to, to put that in the mix too.
Can you talk a little bit about your technique and how it changed? You started to touch on it, but can you take me through sort of the learning of it?
Certainly.
And what you do now?
Certainly. Well, studying with the lady at Northwestern, who not everybody should study with her, have studied with her either, Alvina Krauss. It was great. People were in my classes. Names you would know. I mean, some of them have slipped my mind at the moment, but. there were some well-known people there, and I wasn't. I mean, I was not a well-known person at all, but somehow I just managed to keep on keeping on with my classes, and I did very well. But I never ever felt. I learned more by when I came to New York. I learned much more from Uta, and from Herbert, and from the various people at the studio. Things changed. It was more exacting, and the more I directed, the more I began to understand about acting as well. And I found phrases that helped me, like, you're right where you need to be. You're right where you need to be now, and just be there. Be was a huge word. Knowing is a huge word for an actor. Knowing, and that comes from a simplicity that I began to evolve into. And as I started to tell, I did start to tell you about the difference between acting for musicals as opposed to acting for plays. I did soaps, so there was definitely a different technique for soaps. I did All My Children. I did a number of others that were, places, and then I directed on soaps too, on All My Children. And I learned different techniques for the various places that where you do have to act. But I grew in it. And I realized it was very, very important to study people, and to study the recognition of what they brought to me, and of course, particularly if you were working on a show with the with a particular like an accent, let's say, the accent is very important, but it isn't the part. It's a part that you learn to, and I was good with accents, so I did the various things that were natural, and I was always working in so many different different ways to make a living. I ushered, which was a whole different aspect. But the people I met at the theater, I mean, I had a really lovely time with my audience, and it was a decent wage for what we did. You couldn't live on it, but it was, and I was on unemployment a lot, but not, it was reasonable. I went in and out of finding ways to make a living that were that I could fit in between the other things that I did, just like we all do that. And I think that there's an understanding of when you're in this business that is a it works if you're working toward well, I just loved it so much that I was always working toward doing the best I could with what was given to me, and yet at the same time, if it didn't work out, and the rejection, you know, oh God, the rejection, when you knew you were right for something and it didn't happen, or when you were surprised because it did, you just kept working through learning as much as you could from being there. And I think that came with being older too. And with I learned, for instance, when I went off, one of the major parts that I played when I was older was a musical called Harold and Maude. It was based on the movie, and of course I was Maude, and it was in Dayton, Ohio, and so I was there for I don't know, I guess how many months I was there doing that. But I was older, and I really was able to gather so many things that had come before and put them together and be okay with just really just listening and doing quote unquote nothing, which of course you're never doing nothing, but it's important to be able to get to that place.
What would you say is your criteria for success, if you have one, and has it changed over time?
The success really was being in the theater. I never wanted anything else. And I did so many, I stage managed, I directed, as you know, I understudied, I did whatever came up as a job in the business. And then the other jobs that you did to keep body and soul together, and that was the thing that I think was just living. And I had very good teachers along the way. I was very metaphysical in my thinking, and that was something that I just knew that beyond the physical, I just knew that there was. I knew I was going to be all right. I knew that whatever happened was there for a purpose. And when I got that and I developed into that, it was a lot, it was easier. It was easier.
And you talk a lot about meeting people and having their influence with you and how they influenced you in different ways. Can you talk a little bit about networking and
oh,
what
yes.
that meant for you?
Well, first of all, Mother always said, Susie doesn't know a stranger. And I didn't. And I don't. I talk to people when it's appropriate, of course. I talk to people all the time. I meet people on the subway. And I meet people on buses, and I for instance, now that I'm a senior and with a cane, I'll ask for a seat if there's someone that and I always thank them. I ask if I can hold their packages, if I can help them in any way. So there's just a way of I, as I say, I never knew a stranger, so I never ever felt like I was. I always felt comfortable where I am.
And as it pertains to theater.
Theater, of course. You meet people all the time, and you're always acting. I don't mean that you're always acting. I said that. And I guess I do mean that you're always acting, but you're always bringing forth something that is of interest. And I'm very sensitive to people who don't want to talk. I'm very sensitive to people who have a challenge. I keep away from them if it looks like it's not going to be something that I can, you know, that's appropriate. I have a sense of what is important to find out about someone. Especially, well, I'm just crazy about babies and children and mommies and you know, and just how I never had children. I never married, but I had, you know, I had many, many wonderful friends, lovely boyfriends, lovely, you know, people that worked with actors. I mean, I loved that. But I really loved people I met on the street, or I met on the subway, or I met sat next to in a movie theater or a theater. It's a kind of a way, and I was always picking up ideas about what was the objective? What was the objective? And that did me very proud and very well in my study with my acting study. So,
can you speak about any challenges you've had? Is there one that stands out particularly?
There are three. I may not want you to, you know, I'm not going to say people but I had three basic things that happened about halfway through. About 14, 15 years into my career, that happened in a row, that were betrayals. And I realized I had to find something else that made me happy as the theater. So I, and it happened over a period of time. They were primarily directing betrayals. One was with the soaps. I was supposed to be able to direct as a soap director. I did put in my time and put in my my efforts and of course, you know, there's a big union, but I was ready. I was very ready for what was to come, and I could get into it, but I basically was betrayed. That was the first one. The second one was I was betrayed by someone I loved and cherished, and that was difficult. And there was a third one where I had brought a play, an off-Broadway play, to a wonderful, it got a fabulous notice in the Times. It was about Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, who was a Mexican, 17th century Mexican nun. And I wrote the play with the playwright. I brought the play to the theater that ended up doing it and getting the wonderful notice. And my leading lady was up for a drama desk. So it was a very successful thing. And it at a certain point they were going to take it off Broadway. It was an off Broadway show with a limited, you know, a 90 seat theater, etc. That's when it got the great notice in the Times. And then they decided they were going to take it to the first contract that Equity allowed, and it was off Broadway then. And or off-Broadway then. And she put another director in there. So that was the third thing, the soaps, the problem with I would prefer not to mention who it was, but that I felt betrayed by and was betrayed by and was, and that's just dismissed. And then the third was the play. So when that happened, I thought, I've got to find other things that make me happy. So I left the business, and I got a job in an office, and I did very well in the office. I could type, and I could, you know. And actually, if it's a big office, and this was a major company, actors do very well because we can talk to people. And we can, you know, have secrets and, you know, and keep, you know, keep stuff going. And you see the play in front of you, which is the office, and you can really help to manage that. So I left the business for about 15 years. In the meantime, I became a friend of mine, and I started a business, which was a nutrition business, which was a direct selling business. And that did very well, kept us both going very well. And one person was...
We're just going to pause here for the plane.
I think the thing that was the important thing was that I was having a different, totally different experience. And I loved acting and I loved the theater, but I also loved being useful, and I fit in very well as a secretary, and I was a secretary who I subbed, so that I got to work for some of the very, very prominent people at Time Inc., which was the company that I worked for. And I would be there for various, for maybe a day, or I would be the one. We had something called the Daily Bread Collective that one of our friends started, who was an actor. So he brought into this thing a lot of actors, and not a lot, but actors. And so with that, I began to work my way around Time Inc. And I worked for the very best. I worked for... I don't remember all of the chairmans and stuff, but I worked for Mr. Heiskell, Andrew Heiskell. I worked for Jerry Levin. I worked for, you know, and all of them, again, it's the same thing. It's networking. It's the same darn thing that you do in theater. And I had a very wonderful experience. And, oh, I also started being a gardener. So I ended up having a flower company, and I went around to the various farmers. I was in Pennsylvania. I had a place in Pennsylvania, and was still in New York, but 3 days a week I was in New York, and 4 days a week I was in Pennsylvania and developing flowers. And I became a gardener, a master gardener. We started a 4-H group. For kids that lived in the city, in the town, because they didn't have the farms to have the, you know, to have all of the 4-H work that they could. So we worked primarily on gardening, and that's what I helped with that. And that, I love that. And then I would be at Time Inc., you know, for 4 days a week and running the place. I mean... I got tickled because I knew everybody, because I was subbing all over the place, and that was fun. And so that went on for about 15 years. And in that time, I would go to the theater, but I just didn't audition anymore. I let it go. And then I had a very interesting kind of how is it when you have a time when things become clear. And I knew I needed to get, I knew I would act when I was older. I knew I would have difference because I was a character woman. I'm a character woman. And I knew I would act when I got older more. And I did. And that's when I began to go after various things and go back into the business. But I still kept the flower company, the flower business. I still kept the nutrition business. I still kept the things that gave me a place in the world, and not in theater. But then I got back into the theater, which I loved, and I still had my voice, and that was great. But now I was older, and I had different objectives. I had different. It was easier because there wasn't this. I cared, but I didn't. It wasn't as. I'm pounding the table right now. It wasn't as strict as it was, and I also knew that I was right where I needed to be, and.
What would you give when you're talking about your perspective now that you're older looking back? Do you have any from your experience, do you have any suggestions you would give a younger performer?
Oh, of course. I'd love to give my opinion. The main thing, I think, is to recognize that if you do not want it with all your heart and soul and being, don't. Because it's too difficult a business. It's too hard. And at the same time, if you want to do it for a while, that's great. Also, there are so many aspects to it. Find your niche. Find where you fit. And then, I can't say enough for HB. HB was really important to me, because the one thing about HB that's great is the fact, one of the many things, is that they take people that are working, like Austin Pendleton, like so many different folks that I've worked with and had the honor of working with. I loved working with Austin. And at the same time, realizing that there were many ways to Mecca. And I did so many different things. I've forgotten your question. You had, but
any ideas or suggestions?
Suggestions, right.
For younger actors.
So I suggest HB is great because first of all, they, whatever you're charged as a student, half of that charge goes to the school and half of that charge goes to the teacher. And I always thought that was really fair. The second thing I think that's important is you can audit at HB. You can, and you pay a fee to go in and be, but you can go in and see who you feel connected with, who you could, as you study, who helps you, would help you. And I think there is a, as I got older, I realized more and more about the simplicity of it. I am right where I need to be now, whether I'm on stage acting a part or whether I'm right here talking to you. I'm right where I need to be now. And that's a very kind of comforting sort of thing. And that's what I would tell people, to tell kids. But auditing is really important. Go in and see who speaks to you. And if you don't want it more than anything else in the world, find another place. Find another, I don't mean a place to study, I mean another niche that you might like. Find other things that are in the theater if you want it. But don't do it if it isn't the most important, one of the most important things in your life. It's too difficult. It's too hard. And also know that the other thing I realized is that everything works together. So if you don't get it, move on, because that wasn't supposed to be for you. And then find the place, and then you'd be, and if something doesn't, you worked on something and it doesn't happen, if you can be, realize that it's the right things happen for the wrong reasons. And the very best that can happen to you is something that will be definitive in some way, because everything matters and everything contributes. And of course, I wanted theater more than anything in the world. So there was never a question, although nobody ever asked me that, but I just knew that's what I wanted more than anything else. And, but it didn't have to be just acting. It didn't have to be just singing. I got the greatest joy out of singing, I think, and have since had, wonderful, even as I've gotten older and with the vocal thing, is getting right where I need to be. And that's in front of an audience. And how that works out, it works out.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today.
Of course.
And I look forward to our next interview.
Me too.